And this is the final installation. This is part three of the Best Bits of Series 2. Enjoy.
Arab Spring News now!
Boing!
Now, if you've not been paying attention in the news, pay attention now. Libyan rebels this week had pushed themselves quite close to the brink of victory as they took the capital city, Tripoli, and overran Colonel Gaddafi's compound slash castle, tearing down statues, flags, and firing their guns in the air like they just don't care.
Did you mean that to rhyme?
I don't know. Possibly. Only the city of Sirte, Gaddafi's birthplace, remains as a stronghold for the regime, and the rebels have given the regime supporters a week to give themselves up until they go in there by force after negotiations with tribal elders. Now, they have extended that deadline. It's getting a little bit like a university student who's just making up illnesses to try and get a longer and longer deadline for an essay, but eventually that deadline is going to come in, Gaddafi supporters. That deadline is going to come in. But meanwhile, senior politicians from around the world are gathering in Paris at the moment. I think it's just finished, actually, for a summit on Libya's future with French President Nicolas Sarkozy and UK leader David Cameron. I think that's how you pronounce Sarkozy. Are hosting the meeting to be attended by officials from the US, Russia, China and many other countries which aren't worth noting, really. Delegates from Libya's rebel government will also be there and expected to ask for help on security and democracy. The National Transitional Council is expected to press for further unfreezing of assets, but its delegates will also stress that it does not want any lessening of NATO support as it tries to quell the remaining loyalist pockets. With the governance of the NTC is, however, a complete international consensus, with major countries such as Algeria, Brazil, China, India, SAICO, Iran, Kenya, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe not recognising them as the leaders of Libya. That list is far too long.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, how bad are things in Zimbabwe that they've obviously been watching all of this happen and are still, they're just so brutally repressed and hungry they can't do anything. And I was born on transfer deadline day, and I worked out that Sergio Aguero in Zimbabwean dollars costs $22 billion.
or a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
But it's a bit rich coming from Zimbabwe.
Well, they're just a bit like desensitized to the actual violence. It's like a 12-year-old who's played Grand Theft Auto for that long, but when he starts playing Manhunt, it just seems like he's playing Rayman or something. Like, it's like, oh, someone's just been shot in the head. That's a completely normal thing to see. But Gaddafi's family have fled to Algeria, but the colonel vows that he will continue to fight his enemies in a long and bloody fight, declaring, "Let Libya be engulfed in flames."
Yeah, it's not dramatic at all.
No, not anything like what Gaddafi has been doing in the past. Quite strange. Out of character, one could say.
Yeah, I think Gaddafi saw Muse's set at the Leeds Festival and saw all those flamethrowers going up in the air. And he heard somebody in a crowd saying, "Oh, they're engulfed in flames." And he said, "I must write that down. Sounds good."
Why would he be at Leeds Festival?
He's hiding somewhere, isn't he?
No, that's true.
In the place you're least expecting.
Everyone, check underneath your armpits. He might be there. Just worth making sure you're not carrying an international criminal underneath you. But that's all that's gone on in Libya. He's eventually going to get caught. He can't play this Where's Wally / Waldo game any longer.
Let's see if he can beat Saddam Hussein for just record time spent underground in a box.
With fun-sized Mars bars.
But Saddam's spent a lot of time underground in a box now anyway. So, Syria?
Bit too soon, Ben.
Bit too soon. You know what? I don't have to justify myself to Saddam Hussein.
Arab Spring News Part 2.
The Attorney General of the embattled Syrian city of Hama has resigned in protests at crimes against the local population committed by security forces. In a video posted online by activists, a man who identifies himself as Adnan Mohammed al-Bakor declares himself with the rebels. Bakor said he was standing down because of the continued suppression of peaceful protests against the regime at the president Bashar al-Assad. According to Bakor, 72 prisoners were killed in Hamas central prison on the 31st of July at the start of a three-day assault on the city on the eve of Ramadan.
That's quite bad, actually.
Yeah. He said a further 420 bodies were buried in mass graves in public parks by security forces and loyalists. After that, he was asked to report the victims as having been killed by armed gangs. He said that about 320 people had died under torture.
Well, al-Assad is still not a nice bloke. I would most certainly not have a pint with him. But if with the Arab Spring starting to possibly come to an end, what can we say about it? Well, Colonel Gaddafi's loss of power is a dead cert, population 48,275. He's gapped population 9,228 in the southwest of the country. No chance of holding on to power. And he batter population 4,780. Just go. Although it's widely reported that Gaddafi dislikes Libya, with his main complaint being its al-urban population, 12,600, and not enough countryside. It's one of the main reasons that when he went for his annual STI check, that he went to Yorkshire for it and visited Tobruk, population 76,685. He got the all clear, though, and when he got back to Libya, he said to his Ukrainian blonde nurse, Al Badger, population 250,000, right now. But his nurse wasn't really up for it. She replied, nah, look, population 17,146. Hey, that's incredibly forward, Colonel. Your wife is in the other room. Well, after being rejected, the Colonel was obviously quite upset. And he said he wanted to play his favourite game to cheer him up. So he decided to play hide and seek with police issue tasers called Taserbo, population 6,600. Although his friend Dave had to go in for tea early, but said, Zalask, population 8,882. My mother, if I can come out later. But this only upset Gaddafi more. And he walked home saying, darn, nah, population 88,037. Why does nobody want to play? I'll have to go commit some human rights offences and get toppled by my own people. That's how you could really sum up the Arab Spring in Libya. But, David, what Jadu, population 9,563, think about Syria and al-Assad?
Well, I don't know, Adam. Is there too much to talk about? Yeah, I don't know. Darakish him? Do I criticise him? Although I did think it wouldn't end well after he had a mashyaf argument with his mother. She asked, why don't you go and try and come to a constitutional compromise with the protesters? Ha, ma, don't be stupid. This is our country and don't you forget it, he roared impressively, before turning round and tripping over his own shoes. Ouch, ma'am, can you do my laces? Sure, and informed your cabinet that tea's at 6, so be finished attacking protesters by then. Okay, I'll tell them later. Al-Assad went out and met his second-in-command, who greeted him. You're all right, Al-Assad. Fresh from a trip for South London, he replied, yeah, bruds. I need to stop saying that. Any news today? We slaughtered 70 people, so it's going well. Have you set a time for tea tonight? Forgetting, Al-Assad said, damn, ask us later. Too busy thinking about that damn Christian West. Who do they think they are criticising me? And what did Jesus do anyway? Cure Aleppo? And I think we can summarise from this that both of them are quite nasty people. And I mean, Aleppo is quite an offensive word for Aleppo.
It is. I can't even believe he'd use that term.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm for impartial advice because I think it's not fair that, for example, a church group gets to decide or gets to give advice on people. But I also think it's not fair that, for example, an ardent atheist should be able to affect people's views either, because they both have just as much founding in society as each other. So. I am sympathetic to the idea, but whether it'd really work out in person, as I said, I don't know whether you can get truly impartial people to decide.
I think. If you're actually religious, though, and you're sticking up for the pro-life side, you wouldn't really consider to have an abortion, would you? So do you really need those type of groups coming in? Because if you're considering an abortion, that does kind of mean you're not pro-life.
Yeah, you'd have thought you'd know where religious groups stand anyway, and anyone, you know, who has a faith would... You'd assume no, yeah, which side their church would want them to come down on.
Well, a leading human rights lawyer is planning a legal challenge to Scotland's university funding system. Phil Shiner, a great name, said the policy breaches the European Convention on Human Rights by charging students from other parts of the UK to study north of the border. Currently, Scottish students studying at home do not pay any tuition fees, while some 22,000 English students have to pay so in Scotland. With the Scottish government defending its policy, saying it's acting within the law by persecuting English students. Obviously, I don't have an opinion on this. Mr. Shiner of Public Interest Lawyers, who does sound a little bit like a personal claims lawyer to public interest, but anyway, is already representing two students who have been given a full judicial review to challenge the increase in tuition fees at England's universities. The legal team acting for Callum Hurley of Peterborough and Katie Moore of London are expected to argue that poorer students and those from ethnic minorities could be discriminated against by the change, with Mr. Shiner turning his attention to the fee structure in Scotland, where English students pay between £1,820 to £2,895 per year, which will increase to £9,000 from next year, as Alex Salmond said he doesn't want English students to think that Scottish universities are a cheap choice. Now, essentially, what this entire article and the law for Scottish students and EU students, EU who get free in Scotland, what that says to me is that Alex Salmond thinks that English people don't deserve human rights. And that's my opinion, really. I think that Alex Salmond is incredibly racist.
So he gives it to Scottish people and EU people, but not you, not English?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like
that can't be legal.
It's like it's getting challenged, Ben.
Yeah.
It's like he's a Scottish nationalist. What would he have against the English? Who knows?
The thing, I am genuinely hoping that this does turn into a major constitutional issue. And the Scots go, well, we want free university. We're going to go and run ourselves. And then we go, okay, go run yourselves then. And then they come back in 6 months going, please, sir, we've got no more money. Please help us. We didn't have any oil left either. So essentially, that the legal challenge will come to an end, hopefully quite soon, and we can either tell you if Scotland is still a part of the UK or if English students are going to continue to be charged in Scotland. But I'm kind of hoping that the Scottish do have to pay, just because it'll make me laugh. But yeah.
A senior minister accidentally revealed a government briefing document welcoming the departure of Afghan President Hamid Karzai. International Development Secretary Andrew Mitchell was photographed clutching a note as he left number 10. It said that UK should publicly and privately approve Mr. Karzai's decision not to seek a third term in 2014. In response, Foreign Secretary William Hague said the memo was pretty low level, adding, "These things happen." But it's just another in a long line of, you know, unbelievably incompetent and, well,
stupid mistakes.
This has happened a few times. People getting snapped with a brief and then the photos just go and get blown up and everyone can see every tiny little detail of what was on the paper. It's just like, put them in a briefcase. Well, we have these things.
Julian Assange will be quite annoyed, seeing as WikiLeaks is meant to be doing these kind of things. And if the government are leaking their own information, then what's the point in WikiLeaks anymore?
Be out of business.
I would say that a lot of people are asking for the new government to be more transparent, and it's just taking it upon themselves to do that.
But the thing is with the press, what happened to the days where they just chased around celebrities and royal family members around tunnels? Now they're just taking photos of bits of paper. You can see why the News of the World was the most read Sunday paper, if that seems as entertainment. But I suppose that just really sums up the decline of the British press and newspaper industry. And I'm probably going in prison for that joke.
prostitute news now.
And got your attention there, haven't we?
Well, the German city of Bonn has installed a meter.
Carry on.
It's installed a meter to tax prostitutes for soliciting on its streets at a rate of €6 per night, or in real money, £5.30. Those who fail to pay face fines or even a ban.
Ooh.
And €264 were found in the meter when it was first emptied, according to the AFP news agency. And tax has been levied on prostitutes elsewhere, but Bonn is the first city to use a meter, a spokesman has said. But a prostitute's rights activist slash user said the scheme amounted to double taxation and would increase prices. He didn't actually say it increased prices.
Pass on the to the consumer.
Like car insurance.
Yeah.
Prostitutes are expected to pay the flat rate regardless of earnings. The machine, which looks like an ordinary parking meter, has been installed in an industrial area near the city centre, which is favoured by prostitutes and their clientele. Isabel Klotz, a spokesman for the city, said they expected to get about €200,000 per year from the meter. Women who work in brothels also pay the tax, but until now it had been difficult to get women on the street to pay. However, Juanita Rosina Henning from the Donna Carmen Prostitute Support Group demanded the meter's removal, saying prostitutes already paid enough income tax, saying this is nothing to do with fiscal equality. And I would say that with bankers, prostitutes are the most taxed in society. But it's quite harsh what they're planning to do, Bonn. If they don't actually pay for the right to have this little ticket to walk the street, as you heard, they can get a ban and get a fine, or in multiple offences, they can have their legs clamped together so they can't work.
I just love how they get them to, like, they give them a little ticket, you know, like when you go to a pay and display car park.
So you're going to have, like, attendants walking around as well?
Well, I presume so, yeah. And that's where the clamp would come in, obviously.
Where would you stick the sticker at all?
I don't want to know.
I just like the fact some beleaguered guy could think he's filling up his parking meter and just put in, like, €6, and then a pimp comes up to him just like... what do you want? Just 2 hours, think. I think we're quite the stallion, do we?
Well, the news didn't report this week. With the vacant dictator role in Libya, Her Majesty the Queen's been seen to be eyeing that up. That's in The Independent this week.
Republicans have watched Monty Python's and now for something completely different and have decided to stop acting so silly. That's from The Guardian.
Telegraph goes with the story that England topped the world test rankings in cricket. Nothing else matters.
The Daily Mail reports that new anti-prejudice laws brought in by gypsy-loving, ethnic minority-fearing, homosexuality-favouring liberals have been brought in.
Yeah. The Daily Star just simply has, Big Brother is back.
Yay.
A certainly intelligent headline by the Daily Star.
Even more intelligent one from the Financial Times. Perfect time to buy shares in Woolworths, claims out-of-date stockbroker.
That'd be a terrific buy, I would say.
Rock-bottom prices. They only go up.
The Interpol Express has asked, where's Wally, or his alias, Waldo?
La Guisette de Cheese. From France, I believe that is. It says, the French president announces the release of sex tape, popularity ratings up by 75%.
That's an interesting move by Sarkozy to try and get another term.
Yeah. Daily Express went with the exclusive story that Diana loved long walks in the park.
No. They're like a teenage boy who finally fell in love with a girl and then just can't let her go. She's gone! Just remember her for the good times. But, this is from the Leeds Chronicle, and this is quite a big story from the Leeds Chronicle, actually, that a Yorkshire man has bought a passport, but he only crossed the River Humber before returning home with homesickness.
He is practically well-travelled.
And the last one from the Libyan news agency, Gaddafi to start in Libyan remake of This Is Your Life, before presumably being executed on the spot.
Ah, well, that's an interesting move for Gaddafi if he does take up that role. But I did kind of see him more of the, you know, Dancing with the Stars or Dancing on Ice star, to be honest. But that was the news that wasn't reported this week.
Welcome to This Week in Lies with your host, Ben, the Raging Bull of Justice, Farnsworth. And joining Ben this week, fighting out of Chester with a record of 3-0 in democratic participation, Adam, the Golden Boy, Haynes. Special guest this week.
There is no guest.
Where's the guest?
We're not entirely sure. Somewhere. We think he may be taking over from Gaddafi. He is in that general area.
Well, I'm very, very upset at the guest for doing this to us. Not even telling us.
I mean, again, you know, this has happened on more than one occasion.
I think we should throw it open to, you know, applicants now.
So if you go onto your local job centre listings, you will see position as This Week in Lies guest. Previously filled by Mr. David Fisher, who isn't joining us this week. So let's just get on without him. We'll do fine, I'm sure.
We will. I think we should start with the usual. Arab Spring news now.
Boing.
Well, Libya has lost its load of weapons. Of weapons.
Yeah.
Rebels have started to become concerned over the fate of some of the weapon stockpiles accumulated during the rule of the new professional hide-and-seek dictator of the year, Colonel Gaddafi. As Gaddafi had built up extensive armories during his 40 years in power, but now, 6 months after the rebels have took the arms away from him, many of these sites lie abandoned after they were taken in battle, or troops, and I quote, troops guarding them merely wandered off. Don't know where they've gone. They might have done a fish and gone on holiday.
Very professional.
Indeed. Professionalism on this podcast is disgraceful. But anyway, journalists this week have reported visiting buildings full of weapons such as missiles, grenades, and rockets that are all completely unsecured. The rebel leadership in some areas of Tripoli have been said to have forgotten about storing some of these weapons. Although a major concern for the rebels is the empty boxes and containers that have been found where they previously thought weapons were, as Gaddafi has a vast array of anti-aircraft missiles, although he has no actual means of firing them, with one rebel remarking that these missiles seem to be one of Gaddafi's favourite toys.
That is pretty classic. Middle Eastern dictator. All bark, no bite.
But it was at the start of when NATO were bombing. He said he had anti-aircraft weapons that he could use. And then it turned out that the actual means to fire them, he bought off the Soviets. So they were all in Russian and he didn't know how to use them.
He was just planning on going to the highest building and throwing them.
just getting a shot putter. Just going, yeah. Go on, have a go. Now, it's hopefully Gaddafi's last stand, with forces loyal to Colonel Crazy firing rockets from Bani Walid, which I do wonder where they actually got them from. Mm-hmm. But as we are on air now recording, the rebels are storming Bani Walid and they're laying a smackdown onto the loony loyalists. But as a... Before all of this, rockets were landing near surrounding towns ahead of the extended deadline for loyalists to surrender. But it does look like that they've just given up on that deadline and just decided to storm Bani Walid. With the central bank actually reporting that 1.7 billion Libyan dinars, or in American money, $1.4 billion, or in real money, £875 million worth of gold being sold during this conflict, which is quite a lot of money. Quite a lot of money indeed.
What, Gaddafi's selling that gold, or...?
I don't know. That's just the central bank's just said that's the amount of gold that's been sold. which I'm guessing it's not going to be from Gaddafi, because I can imagine him being some kind of gold member-esque.
He will have made statues of himself. Yeah, he'll have plated himself in gold to make a statue.
In his face. But Colonel Gaddafi's whereabouts remain the subject of speculation, though the National Transitional Council and Western officials have said they have no reason to believe he has left Libya, and the NTC has been trying to negotiate a peaceful resolution with standoff in a handful of Libyan towns or cities still controlled by Gaddafi loyalists, with these towns including Bani Walid, as we've mentioned, which is getting stormed, Jufra, Saba, and Colonel Gaddafi's birthplace of Sirte. He's just got to go now. He's hanging on more than what Gordon Brown did.
Well, it's just like, how long is it going to be until we find him in a hole again? Or in just some sort of... I mean, where's he hiding?
The Ukraine. Plenty of blonde nurses. Seriously, no one's looked there. Nobody's looked there, and he could be there because there's loads of blonde nurses.
I think we should storm the whole of Ukraine now. Just surround it.
Just bomb it.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
It's not
better safe than sorry.
Yeah. Potential criminals.
Yeah. Talking about being sorry, we need to apologise to Libya, seeing as there's allegations that MI6 were involved in the rendition of Libyan terror suspects. And I say terror suspects in that way because it has the little scare quotes around them. Whilst these allegations are being examined in an inquiry, Mr. Cameron has said, and it comes after papers suggesting close ties between MI6, the CIA, and the Gaddafi regime were found in Tripoli. Sorry about that, Libya. Sir Peter Gibson.
Our bad.
Yeah, our bad. But Sir Peter Gibson's inquiry into alleged involvement in torture by UK security agencies has said it will investigate. With a former Libyan foreign minister claiming that MI6 was cooperating with the old regime until about 6 months ago.
Pretty easy to believe, since we sold pretty much every dictator under the sun weapons at some point as well.
Allegedly.
Okay, allegedly.
Allegedly, we definitely did.
Allegedly.
That's the line we'll go with in court. But meanwhile, UK officials, including staff from the Foreign Office and Department for International Development, have arrived in Tripoli to re-establish a diplomatic presence in Libya. But obviously with these people that we were sending back to Libya or sending on rendition flights to be tortured for information because they were terror suspects, we were well within our rights to do it. Because if we use Kelvin McKenzie's logic, a well-known fan of... logic, they were terrorists at the time, but then it was proved that they weren't, so then now they're not, but they were terrorists at the time.
Yeah,
so it's okay.
Defensible.
Yeah, I don't understand what they're complaining about, really. We gave them free flights. Yeah,
not even Ryanair does that.
But Gaddafi, his entire, well, I don't even think you can call it a regime now. I'm going to be the first one to put
it
out.
It's done
there.
It's done.
I'm going to call him ex-leader Gaddafi. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
It's unrecoverable when you've lost every city and you're just hanging on by an absolute thread to the last sort of crazy loyalists that are left.
He's kind of like that guy in Risk. You've lost absolutely everywhere and you're just stuck in Great Britain with only one tank.
Yeah.
Just looking at the entire world being taken by greed.
Shaking a dice. Just say, come on, if I can hit a couple of sixes, I'll be back on my feet.
But sadly for Gaddafi, there's no dice in this game. No dice, Gaddafi. No dice. Lots of people randomly stabbing people just in case they did one day rob them. See? Ken Clark is involved in all of this. He really needs to look himself in the mirror and think, should I continue to be the UK Justice Minister? Because I think he's got major, major questions to answer.
I think he's too soft. I think we also need to go down the high street and, loot a few charity shops just to see what's really going on. There could be drug rings in there. You never know.
Oh, well, that is pretty true. Like, the NSPCC, when, it's getting close to 5 o'clock and they're thinking about closing, they do always look a bit shifty. Ooh, shall we close the shop now? It's 4:59. Are they thinking we could get round the back and sell more meth to 7-year-old children?
I like Just in case anyone's wondering, this isn't true. The NSPC doesn't sell meth to children.
Well, we've never seen proof of that.
We've got inconclusive evidence. Some of the evidence was that Adam made it up just now.
Eagles more dangerous than paedophiles, claimed Scottish Gamekeepers Association news. But they didn't say it in that words. Or use more dangerous than paedophiles.
Okay. Scottish Gamekeepers Association has raised concerns about whether sea eagles could differentiate between children and their natural prey. The comment follows an incident where a senior clergyman was injured by a young eagle as he tried to scare it away after it attacked one of his geese. The SGA, the Scottish Gamekeepers Association, has called for a public inquiry into the impact of the reintroduction of the birds on the East Coast. So what happened was, a clergyman said that eagles attacked him, but it was because he attacked the eagle first. And now eagles are paedophiles? I don't understand. What is this story?
Essentially,
eagles like children in a way that they shouldn't.
Yep.
And these eagles are a menace and should be dealt with accordingly. String them up. Eagle scum.
The Daily Mail will be on this.
They'll just be like large towers with just cages. Like the owl place in Hogwarts. And just a load of hard up eagles all covered in tattoos and scars.
I would like to just say for my lawyer to make it easier in court once again, but the Scottish Gamekeepers Association didn't actually say that they're more dangerous than paedophiles. It was just that they said they went on for quite a bit about the threat to children. So I kind of twisted their words a little bit and added a few more in for them.
You added the four words more dangerous than paedophiles into what they said.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
You graduated from the Daily Mail School of Journalism, then.
Yeah, well, you've got to make the news a bit more interesting. If technically, it is a quote from them because it is in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't necessarily say it, but it's still a quote.
Mm. Well, there you have it. Don't let your kids play out because the eagles might get them. Not the band, the Eagles. They're not paedophiles. Yeah, we should just clear this up just in case the eagles are listening. I really like Hotel California, and I know you're not paedophiles, so that's this week in Lies Lawyer is going to be absolutely like snowed under this week. The eagles aren't paedophiles. The animal, oh, forget it. Let's just move on. gay blood.
Now, Britain's finally got over this little thought, and the lifetime ban on blood donations by homosexual and bisexual men will be lifted in England, Scotland and Wales. Ministers have agreed to let men who have not had sex with another man in the past 12 months to donate from November.
Whoa. I didn't read that bit. What is...
Ben, have you given blood?
No, I thought the whole thing was because... Well, basically, it says restrictions were put in place in the 1980s to prevent the risk of HIV contamination, right? But HIV doesn't go away if you've not had sex with another man or a HIV-positive person for the last 12 months. It doesn't expire.
Logical. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
There's also the fact that more straight people have HIV than gay people, but let's get away from the logical arguments. But the latest medical evidence presented to a government panel argued the ban could no longer be justified. And just to bring the tone down, a comment on the Daily Mail claimed that gay blood may infect people. Now, this didn't specify if that person meant HIV or with gayness.
Gayness.
And when asked, he refused to clarify. And I quote, "I refuse to clarify." But for humour, let's say he meant it. Being gay.
I don't get this story because it's like...
It's just so stupid.
I understand. Well, I read the stats actually about HIV. There's more heterosexual people with it, but the new cases, there's more heterosexual people living with HIV, but the newer cases, it's something like 2/3 in favor of homosexuals. So that's why the ban is still around, because there's still the perceived, well, there isn't perceived, it is an actual increase year on year. The amount of cases comes from homosexual people rather than heterosexual. So I can see why, but the thing I don't agree is that why let them only donate if they've not had sex with another person in the last 12 months, like another man? Because it doesn't make sense, because if they've got HIV, they've got HIV.
News that wasn't reported this week. Now, the Daily Telegraph has gone with the very important story that England is still number one in Test cricket, so nothing else matters.
The Daily Express have gone with some new research that says white families are 99% happier than other families.
I wonder what they're getting at. Weird. The Daily Mail didn't report anything this week after me and Ben on Twitter actually tweeted one of their correspondents saying that immigrants are the natural predator to the paedophile, and their heads have exploded over confusion of who to hate.
An exclusive story out of the Daily Star, Friends with Benefits, based on the story of a friend who was on the dole.
That's a weird. I wonder why they turned that into a film. The Guardian has gone with David Cameron's forehead grows bigger by the day, endangering sunlight.
The South London Times, breaking news, London youth didn't shoot someone.
Gee, wow.
That is big news.
And what one just in from the Libyan Gazette here, they've gone with, where is Gaddafi? No, seriously, where is Gaddafi? But if you've got an answer to that, make sure you get back to them there.
Vladimir Putin to challenge bear to shirtless fight to the death in Siberia. And that comes from the ever-reliable news source of the Putin Office of Truth.
That's obviously an interesting fight. I imagine that'll be on box office.
I don't know how the bear's going to be shirtless. But...
they'll shave it.
Oh, okay. So it's Putin versus Eric Pickles.
with Theresa May just in the corner going, "Go on, Eric, hit him!"
Welcome to Series 2, Episode 8 of This Week in Lies, the last episode of this series. The show, as usual, presented by the man you know as Ben, and I know as the raging bull of justice, is Ben Farnsworth. And with Ben this week, once again as usual, it's Adam, the golden boy Haynes. And sadly, there is still no guest. Welcome to the show.
So, hi everyone. This Week in Lies back again. This is the end of Series 2. It's our last episode. Sadly.
Arab Spring news now!
Boing!
It's just a classic.
Never gets old.
It doesn't. Interim leaders are facing a battle between conservative and Islamic groups and secular figures in Libya as the leader of the National Transitional Council, Mustafa Abdul Jalil, has sought to quell anxiety over festering internal divisions in his first speech in Tripoli on Monday night. Sadly, not as entertaining as Gaddafi, and hasn't claimed that, you know, America is the great evil of the West, but he seems, you know, fairly sensible. But he's told a crowd of about 10,000 people that Sharia law should be the main source of legislation in Libya, but added, "We will not accept any extremist ideology. We are Muslim people for a moderate Islam, and we will stay on this road." So expect the EDL and the BNP to start saying that, you know, because they're getting Sharia law, we are. Just expect that in the coming weeks. But splits have emerged within the rebels because the country's new leadership has, you know, it has a few secular figures and a few Islamic conservatives, some of whom have long lived in exile and some have had ties with Gaddafi's regime, so they don't really like each other all that much.
So it's a bit like Lando Calrissian and Han Solo, you know, that kind of Star Wars reference there.
I get told off for my Libya and Star Wars reference.
I had to have a go at one.
Who is
and it didn't pay off.
Who is the hypocrite here? Revolutionary leaders have compiled a black book of Gaddafi cronies, relatives, and loyalists who can expect retribution for their roles under the dictatorship, but they are anxious to avoid the Iraq de-Ba'athification disaster, with the vast majority of the Libyan army officer class, including those still fighting in the NTC in places such as Sirte, being incorporated into the post-Gaddafi military. So, Gaddafi is gone. We're going to have to just accept that all now and just get on with our lives. Ahmadinejad will have to take up a bigger role in being a crackpot.
Looks like Gaddafi may just move on to something like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, you know, getting back on his feet or something.
I do feel sorry for Gaddafi, though, because, you know, all he wanted to do was rule with an iron fist and not really make any sense in claiming that certain people do certain things in the world and then trade with the EU to get £330 million worth of arms. But who doesn't want to do that? Who can honestly get up in the morning, look at themselves and go, I don't want to do that. I know I can't. I personally would. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not a genocidal lunatic.
I think you're in the minority there.
I'm not worried because I'm living in a house with you next year.
Well, we did say we were going to be brutal dictators, so, you know.
We are, but I think we should just bow our heads for a second and remember the good times we had with Gaddafi.
Bees everywhere.
When the bees were going to destroy Europe. When he claimed that America couldn't kill him with their rockets because he was just too good. When he spent $1.1 million on a gold statue of a fist crushing a plane.
These are all highlights in his illustrious career.
Oh, and the numerous amount of people he's killed. The human rights offences.
Buying anti-air weapons without the ability to launch them.
That is such a schoolboy error. It's just, how do you forget to buy the launchers?
Pro tip for any, small up-and-coming dictators, make sure you buy proper launchers for your anti-aircraft missiles.
You're not going to be able to defend yourself if NATO start bombing you and you can't figure out how to use your launchers because they're all in Russian.
See, who says Twill doesn't help the world out?
I think we're helping the world out in a way that the world never wanted to be helped out over.
In the I think this is a report where it said that they've been going up this, it's a high rise unfinished building, and like the police are on the lower floors and there's still just one guy holed up there with a gun shooting randomly, and they said in the BBC report that they'd found RPGs, machine guns, and then biscuits and energy drinks, which I just thought was just such a weird thing to add in. You know, right, we've got our RPGs, we've got our miniguns, do we have any rich tea?
Ahmed, have you got the Lucozade?
Yeah. We what? Need more aid? Monster energy drinks.
We'll Ahmed be up there. Wanted Lucozade, not Powerade. How are we going to be able to defeat the West?
You got the fizzy Lucozade, not the sports version. God damn it, Ahmed. Go wait in the minivan. Seriously, people have been killed.
If you see anyone drinking Lucozade Sport, they're a terrorist.
And they have rich tea biscuits and drive around in a minivan. So, you know, pretty much all school sports teams.
Hello? This Week in Lies lawyer has instructed me to say that in no way is Lucozade and Rich Tea and whoever makes them associated with terrorism, and this is merely a joke.
Okay, good. Glad to clear that one up.
Sorry,
thanks
sorry,
very much for thanks very much, Twill Lawyer. He's been working overtime.
You left me with him last week. Do you realise how angry he was?
Well, you know, I was out on business, so I thought you'd be able to clear up your, you know, unfounded accusations that the NSPCC give meth to kids. That was all you. That wasn't me.
He lectured me for 4 hours. 4 hours!
Well, I presumed you had a lot of paperwork to deal with.
He said that we weren't being sensible, but people who are being sensible is Iran. Who have moved to reduce tensions with the international community by pledging to release two Americans.
Especially when there's growing, support in the world for Palestine being its own nation, rather than just some fenced community.
They've made the situation even worse by employing Tony Blair to be the special envoy here. Why would you get a man who is already hated in the Middle East to deal with a Middle Eastern issue?
Well, they could have got George Bush.
Why don't they get Jesus?
He's a local lad.
Yeah, he'll sort this out. He'll be like, lads, calm down. It's not worth it. Go home.
You know, he'll break some bread and have a nice meal.
Aye.
Feed everyone. Well, I mean, I don't know why they haven't thought of that. So, strongly worded email, do you think?
Can we think about having a strongly worded email? And then we'll see how we feel.
I may write it and then put it in the bin.
We could get David to write it.
Well, he's I think he's actually spying, isn't he? Somewhere near the north of Africa at the moment. So he could, you know, run down. It's only a couple of 100,000 miles.
We don't even know where he is. It's just.
Well, I've received a small Morse code segment, but it was something to do with geese and chickens. I don't know whether, like I said, he's not very good at Morse code.
I don't understand why he doesn't just email us of where he is, why he chooses to do Morse code.
I mean, the thing is that, I mean, where does he even find these Morse code stations?
Where did we get a Morse code station from?
Well, we just have it in the back. I mean, it's been there since we moved in. You know, I don't really know. It was just covered in dust, and then it just started going one day, and it was David on the other end. So,
well, we don't know where David is, so we've made a small appeal.
I mean, he could be anywhere, but like I said, I just don't know what's going on. I think we need him back.
As you've noticed clearly, we're one man down on This Week in Lies. Yes, me and Ben being here may be enough for all of you. And hey, you may be even happier without him. We'll never know. But all we want is David back. If you know where David's gone, please tell us. We don't think you're the guest, really. I'm so sorry, David, for all the times I called you the guest. We just want you home, where you belong. So please, if you're hearing this, or if anyone knows where David is, please, please tell us. We just want him home safe. Please come home, David. Please.
If anyone does have any information of where David is, please send it to @thisweekinlies on Twitter or thisweekinlies@hotmail.co.uk.
And if you want to donate to the David Fisher Foundation, please get in touch.
£1 could do quite a lot of help for that boy to get a haircut.
Gays are more dangerous than terrorist news.
Now, this news has come out just before the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the United States. Republican member for Oklahoma, the House of Representatives, Sally Kern, has renewed her claim. Now I need you to just sit down, take a deep breath, that homosexuality has killed more people in the United States than terrorism. In 2008, Mrs. Kern was secretly recorded giving a speech where she said that homosexuality is deadly and it's spreading and it will destroy our young people. It will destroy this nation. Studies show that no society has totally embraced homosexuality. It's lasted more than, you know, a few decades. And one thing I would like to just point out, right, is there's about 140 or something species that have shown signs of homosexuality, and only one that's shown, you know, signs of being homophobic. So which one's not natural now, Sally Kern? Statistics are on my side, you stupid bint. But anyway, she became a nationally lampooned figure after lesbian chat show host Ellen DeGeneres left her a voicemail and broadcast it on her television program. Now promoting a book, The Stoning of Sally Kern, the politician says that as a result of HIV/AIDS, homosexuality has killed hundreds of thousands of Americans. Now, I don't understand why she's writing a book about her getting
As well, this is a terrible argument. Because she said, in practical terms, who has killed more people, terrorism or the AIDS that the gays in this country spread? That's a direct quote. They're trying to destroy our very way of life. They even want the president to become one of them. All right, so...
I don't think she understands the fact that she's born gay.
Well, also the fact is that technically probably cancer has killed more people than HIV. You know, dying on hospital beds because of lack of insurance.
Car crashes.
Obesity. There's...
American Civil War.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that have killed... Other people have killed more people than terrorism have. Like, other Americans. So, let's say that all Americans are dangerous. If this is her ideology, that X people have killed more than terrorists, thus X people are bad, then American citizens have killed more American citizens than terrorists, thus American citizens are bad. This is her logic.
Do you know what it sounds like to me, though, Ben?
What?
It's not that she's hitting out against homosexuality. She supports the terrorism. She supports the terrorists.
Does she want the terrorists to kill more people than the gays have?
Maybe she does. Maybe she wants the terrorists to kill the gays and other American citizens so it doesn't spread. Maybe she's trying to stop the domino effect, because if they wipe out all of America, then at least they can't become gay.
If you're dead, you can't be gay.
Exactly. Maybe Sally Kern is actually in favour of genocide.
Maybe Sally Kern is lining up to be next Libyan dictator.
No, Gaddafi talks more sense. Seriously. Sally Kern, you are never, ever welcome in the UK. I have no control over the borders, but just never come here, ever. Because I will not be held responsible for my actions in a court of law.
It's just, this whole story, right? She said it on roughly like the 10th anniversary of 9/11 as well. So it's like, she's also kind of saying terrorism doesn't matter. Because gay people have apparently spread more HIV/AIDS than people have been killed by terrorism. But it's like, well, first of all, we need to see your figures for the amount of HIV/AIDS spread, who it's spread by. I mean, there's no information here.
I'll raise you, actually. I've just thought of another one. Nuclear bomb. A-bomb. Yep. Tornadoes. Hurricanes.
Natural disasters, yeah.
Bears.
Yeah. Killed a lot of people.
Coyotes.
Old people falling over and then later passing away in hospital. That's, you know...
Toilets.
Floors are a bad thing. Yeah, people fall and hurt themselves on them.
Why has no one wrote a book about all of these dangers? And why are they picking on the gays?
Because...
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. Sorry, she's a bigot.
She's also probably a crazy Baptist. I don't know that, but she probably is.
Oh, wait a minute. I've just remembered reading an article after reading this and laughing my head off. Her son is gay.
Oh, God. It just gets better. Every time we do a story on crazy Americans, it get better and better and better and better. This is amazing.
Sally Kern. This is either a brilliant troll or she genuinely is this bigot.
No, she's genuinely that stupid. It's
the only thing you can sum it up with, isn't it? Just going...
Well, it's like I have found two pieces of data that are somewhat have some form of correlation, thus they must be true. It's like, no. If I've learned anything in my second year of university, was statistics don't mean squat.
Well,
essentially, because it can be massaged in any possible way that you want to.
It's the kind of that you're either with us or you're against us idea. You know, well, the gays...
Gays are now communists. This is our McCarthyism.
I'm going to go safe. Hit my head on a very large rock until I can forget this woman exists.
Better dead than gay red.
That'd be an interesting addition to the Dulux colour range.
Hackapalooza 2011 Part 4
Now, this story's becoming a little bit like a Veruca. You thought you finally got rid of it, and it comes back even more annoying than last time. With James Murdoch set to face more questions for MPs investigating the News of the World phone hacking scandal, the Commons Culture Committee has recalled the News International Chairman to give evidence yet again. The company said that Mr. Murdoch would be happy to appear. It comes after MPs have heard conflicting evidence about how much Mr. Murdoch knew about the practice of phone hacking at the News of the World. And separately, it's emerged that the mother of a 7/7 bombing victim is to pursue a civil case against News International. The case of Sheila Henry, whose son, Christian Small, was killed in 2005 Russell Square explosion, will be one of the 6 test cases for civil damages against News Group newspapers over phone hacking claims.
Now, happy to appear. It is not known when Mr. Murdoch will appear before the Culture Committee. John Whittingdale, its chairman, said the committee wanted to first hear evidence from other witnesses, including former senior News Corporation executive Les Hinton and Mark Lewis, the lawyer representing alleged phone hacking victims. A spokesman for News Corp, the parent company of News International, said James Murdoch is happy to appear in front of the committee again to answer any further questions members might have.
And lie to them.
Earlier this month, former News of the World legal manager Tom Crone told MPs he was certain that he told Mr. Murdoch about an email which indicated phone hacking at the paper went beyond one rogue reporter. Mr. Crone said it was the reason that we had to settle a case. Former editor Colin Myler, is it Myler?
Yeah.
Also told the committee the email was discussed as well. Mr. Murdoch, however, has continued to insist he was not told about the email.
I must say, within News International, there's a decent bout of amnesia going around.
We explained this. It was a local gas leak, and no one remembers anything about anything ever at the News of the World.
What's the News of the World?
I don't know. I was just reading this whole story, and I was like, I don't know what this is. I was just reading words.
Who are you?
I don't know. Why am I talking what?
That was us doing an impression of the News of the World running itself.
That's why they still managed to get... That's why they printed the same ridiculous stories every couple of days. They'd all just forgotten they'd talked about them. It all makes sense.
The thing is about all of this is that it's really... It sounds really bad, I know. It's really getting annoying now. Like, it was bad at the start. Like, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 of how bad this was, it was a good 9.8. The only 0.2 making it not that bad is that it's not the worst thing in the world. But now it's really getting to the point of where you just want to die listening to it, because the amount of people they've hacked, the people that they've hacked, the just sheer invasion of people's privacy. Like, it was Robert Peston who said, you know, if they hacked celebrities, then people would go, it's bad, but they are celebrities. But for the people they've hacked, 7/7 victims, you know, murder victims, just how do you go home at night and when the wife goes, oh, how was your day at work? Oh, well, you know that girl who's died? I hacked her phone. It was very interesting to listen to. Oh, well, that's really interesting, dear. What did it have to say? Oh, it was just people being really upset on the phone. Well, isn't that interesting? You should probably write a story about that and get paid a lot of money for invading their privacy.
I also don't understand how hardly anyone's been prosecuted. I mean, if there's this amount of evidence and these amount of questions that need to be asked, there surely is obviously someone to blame, and hardly anyone has been indicted of doing anything. They all seem to just be slowly skulking away into the cracks. And I reckon hardly anyone is going to be prosecuted from this, even though there's just ridiculous amounts of evidence proving what has been going on. And it just seems they're all just sat in front of these committees, not getting anything done, and getting away with it, frankly.
Do you know why it's not getting done? because Tom Watson MP isn't on every single committee. He's the man who told Murdoch to shut up. Why is he not Prime Minister? Why?
Should be Vice.
I beg you to answer that of why he is not Prime Minister, when our current Prime Minister was, you know, has admitted he was a little bit too close to the Murdochs, and the one before that, you know, did the same as the one before that, and Tony Blair is the godfather of one of Murdoch's kids. So, yeah, our entire, you know, political system kind of woke up one morning and had a lot of poo thrown at it. Now, Ben is, we're calling you out, Cameron.
Yeah.
Here, now, we'll fight you, we'll win.
Find a midpoint between Chester and Preston and we'll meet you on a motorway flyover.
I don't care, we'll fight where he wants. We'll be away, we'll go to him.
Yeah.
We'll destroy him in the ring.
We'll take the Twillmobile.
I can't at the moment, it's in the garage for servicing.
Oh.
Sorry.
So it's the end of the show, and it's the end of the series as well for now. Of course, like we talked about right at the top of the show, we're going to be bringing you a Best Bits next week, we hope. Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, depending on how long it takes us to trawl through all the different podcasts and find some of the conversations, outtakes, funny bits.
Or how long we're just crying at how there isn't a lot of them.
Yeah. Probably more than there is actual good content. We've probably cut more from this show than we have put out. So, we're not going to do predictions this week because we're not going to be here. So, we hope that you'll carry on listening to us live, hopefully on the radio, if you have time on Saturdays. We would have preferred to stick with our usual slot, which is Fridays, so that people could, you know, listen to us after work and stuff. But, you know, we'll take whatever slot we've got. We don't want some Monday
midnight. We've moved to more prime time because we got a bit more people listening to us than first expected.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening for this entire series. We're glad that you've enjoying it, or we hope. Or, you know, if you don't, then cheers for listening anyway.
Yeah, why are you here?
Tea Party Roger, you know. We've had some good times. We've had some great respondents from people, you know, Tea Party Roger being one of them, Pete Holland as well, Ricey, there's a lot of, we can't name them all, Gary Eves is being one of them.
iTunes man, who I can't remember his
Ken
name.
In Korea.
How did we get a listener in Korea?
I've no idea. But
We're global!
Yeah, and this is turning into a bit of an Emmy speech. I want to thank my mum.
I'd like to thank God. The
and
devil
Jesus.
Giving God something to do. Sorry, wait a minute. Are we still doing the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But just thank you very much for listening. And we'll
sure David would also like to extend gratitude for people listening, but he's not here.
He probably doesn't. He probably hates you all. Do you remember that? Probably hates you all. Me and Ben don't hate you, though. Me and Ben like you.
Remember that in the future when you're going, you know, when we're going up for awards. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening for this series, and hopefully you joined the last series as well we put out, and hopefully you'll enjoy the best bits in Series 3 as well.
We'll see you in Series 3.
Bye.
Bye.
And with the end of Series 2, Adam and Ben venture on, looking for David. Let's hope by Series 3 they found him to reunite all of This Week in Lies. But for the moment, it's just the two of them.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
that's the end of the best bits of Series 2. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll get the best bits of Series 3 out to you on Christmas Eve. Enjoy. Bye.